This is Geneva Gill interviewing Maria H. on 4/30, 2015 for the Undocumented Voices Oral History Project. All right, this is a multi-state project and the risk will vary depending on the interview location. We have worked to minimize these risks by attributing pseudonyms to all interviews collected. We will not collect formal identifying information such as full names, addresses, etc. However, all interviews will be archived in their true original form. Be advised that any identifying information given through the interview will be available online publicly. Ready?
Yes.
Okay, so how did you get involved in the movement and why?
I mean, I grew up with a lot of my cousins were actually undocumented, and when Prop 300 passed, I personally saw how a lot of my older cousins who specifically one of them wanted to go to college, and he ended up not being able to do anything or go to college because of the high costs that were incorporated with, like, these tuition hikes. So I personally saw how, like, his dreams were crushed, and it's just been something that's affected my family personally, and that's why I decided to get involved.
So what groups were you involved with?
Throughout high school, I wasn't necessarily as involved as I would want to be, but it wasn't until I got into ASU and I started working on different political campaigns to try and change the way and the direction that things were going for Dreamers and just the immigration community as a whole in Arizona. So it wasn't until around 2011 that I started getting involved, like registering voters and, you know, turning people out to vote, because for me, that's one of the ways that we'll be able to, you know, change things for this community.
Okay, and then, like, how did you participate? I know you said you did voter registration, but, like, with what organization? So, like, were there certain campaigns you worked on?
Yes, one of the specific campaigns that I worked on in 2012 was, you may have known, it was called the Adios Arpaio campaign, specifically, you know, tailored to try and get this person out of office, Sheriff Joe, to try and get him not to be reelected. And we registered nearly 35,000 people to vote, majority of them were Latino. In the hopes of, you know, like I said, getting this guy out of office who, you know, in this community was just creating a lot of havoc. So that's specifically one of the campaigns that I worked on. And recently what I've been doing and working on with an organization called CASE is we have been trying to get people's, you know, renewing their DACA, and also giving information about, like, DAPA as well, and getting people and students who are eligible to apply for that or, you know, reapply as well.
Okay. And then have you participated in any sit-ins or other events apart from the ones listed?
I've never done a sit-in personally. I've lobbied a couple times, and I've also just done, like, marches.
Okay, and then I know you mentioned that your cousins, Props 300 affected your cousins. Like, how has that influenced you when it comes to the movement?
I guess it just made me more aware and I felt blessed to not have to really go through what they've gone through. But more than anything, it's made me just more of, I guess, aware about what's going on, because knowing that that could have been me as well. So it just kind of makes me, I guess, more aware and passionate to kind of do the work that a lot of the times they didn't have the chance to. So it's kind of just made me more aware.
Okay, you said that it could have been you. So what do you mean by that?
Well, because my parents themselves were undocumented for over 24 years. And if they hadn't made the decision to, you know, immigrate to the United States at the time that they did, you know, I could have been born, you know, in Mexico as well and gone through what my cousins are going through. Because I know, for example, one of them came here when he was two. So he doesn't know Mexico, even though he's over there now. But, like, he doesn't know, you know, he's not from there. So, like I said, that could have been me too. So just because, like, my parents decided to, you know, come here a little earlier. But that's definitely a reality I've had all my life, is that could have been me. So, you know, I want to try and make a difference wherever I can.
And then within the movement, do you feel like it's fragmented?
What do you mean by fragmented?
Like, do you feel like it's divided between, like, states or certain, like, you know, there's different movements, like, you know, there's a quit movement, there's the undocumented voice. Do you feel like it's just fragmented, like, movement itself, like the dreamer movement?
I feel like in earlier, like, it sort of was, you know, there was different types of coalitions coming together, all trying to, in a sense, accomplish the same thing. But I feel like as time has gone on, and with specifically with DACA, I feel like a lot of these organizations have more or so are starting to work more with each other. So I feel like it's not as fragmented as it used to be, because now, like I said with DACA, I feel like a lot of organizations are trying to, you know, give students or people the opportunity to apply for that. So I feel like DACA's really brought these people and these movements together.
Okay, and then with that, I know you said that you work with CASE. You've recently been working with CASE for DACA and DAPA. Like, what role do you play within that?
I am one of the people that helps, like, I basically help do surveys and see if people are eligible for DACA or DAPA to, you know, mainly in the workplaces, like hotels, like in my workplace. Help interview some of my coworkers, and through that, see if they could potentially, you know, qualify for that. So mainly in, like, my workplace in the hotel industry.
Okay, and then how do you feel that DACA has brought the movement together? Because that's what you said, that you felt it was fragmented earlier, but with the emergence of DACA and, like, DAPA, it's brought them more together.
Because
how do you think it's brought them together?
I think one of the ways it's brought them together, it's given people kind of a goal and something to work with, because before, I feel like everyone wanted to pass, well, you know, they had their own version of, like, you know, the Dream Act and stuff like that, but I feel like with DACA being something that people can actually apply for, I feel like it's kind of, like I said, just brought people together in a way of giving them something to do and something more concrete to actually accomplish and work towards versus, you know, other things associated with, like, dreamers.
So you feel like it gave them, like, a set goal, like,
yeah.
Actual visual of what they need to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then where do you place yourself in the movement? I know you said, like, you're involved with certain organizations, but where do you place yourself in the movement?
I think I am sort of, well, I place myself as, I guess, an ally, because I myself am not undocumented, but I feel like with my experiences and everything, like, the only thing that separates me from them is a number, is a card. And for me, like I said, I feel like at any moment that could have been me. So I really see myself as, you know, someone from the community, and I don't like to sort of separate myself from dreamers, because, like I said, the only thing separating us is, like, a piece of paper. You know, we're all people that, you know, want to make a difference. We all have dreams, we all have goals, ambitions. So I don't really like to separate myself from them, because at the end of the day, the only thing that does quote unquote separate us is a piece of paper, and, you know, that shouldn't be reason enough to not incorporate myself within that community. So I say an ally because I myself am not undocumented, but at the same time, you know, I feel like in reality we're all one and the same. So I kind of see myself as a leader and as someone who wants to, you know, make a difference within the community. So.
Okay, and then with that, how do you feel about the term dreamer and documented?
I feel like it's kind of, it helps stigmatize. I personally don't like calling people dreamers or documented, because that kind of, like I said, separates them from, you know, everybody else. And I feel like we need to just start incorporating, like, all these, you know, like, immigrants and like everyone just together, because I feel like that kind of sends a message of, like, that's them and we're us, instead of saying, like, we're all in this fight together, in this movement together. So I personally don't like using the word documented or dreamer, because at the end of the day, I feel like that just kind of puts a stigma on people, and instead of really unifying and bringing them together.
Okay, and then how do you feel about one of the movement's slogans that was undocumented and afraid?
How I feel about that slogan? I feel like it's very powerful, because and personally, like, my parents were undocumented for a long time, and they were afraid. for a very, very long time. And I feel like Undocumented and Unafraid kind of just helps people realize, or kind of like the elephant in the room, like, people are undocumented and they say, oh, I'm not afraid, like, whatever, like, I'm not scared. But in reality, people are. And I feel like pointing that out kind of gives people an opportunity to come out of the shadows and seeing as to how other people are, you know, like you said, quote unquote, undocumented and unafraid, it gives people who are afraid kind of like an opportunity to come out and not be afraid.
Okay, and then do you feel that immigration reform should be focused at like the local, state, or federal level?
I feel like it should be focused on at every level, but more importantly, locally, because I feel like at the end of the day, local change can come quicker, and we have more of an impact and more of a say locally than we do nationally. You know, we can try and, you know, pressure Obama and everything, but at the end of the day, change for me starts locally in your communities, you know, standing up, whether it's, you know, a friend who doesn't vote, telling them to vote, or, you know, different things like that. Because for me, like, I've seen changes happen locally and I know it can happen. But, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, global or national change isn't achievable. But if everybody came together locally and started to organize and, you know, really push for change, then that would eventually lead to, like, a domino effect and create a national change. So I think, for me, more importantly, local change is what's more effective.
Okay, and then how do you find out about, like, events going on within the Dreamer movement or the immigration movement? Like, how do you keep in touch? Or, like, how...
Well, social media is, I think, a really big part. You know, I follow all these different groups. I'm friends with all these different, like, activists. And I see anytime they post something or any events that are going on, as well as through email. But more than anything, it's through, you know, social media that I find out about events and stuff like that. And also, like, networks that I know of reaching out.
And then you said that your parents had been undocumented for a really long time. Are they no longer undocumented?
No, they are no longer undocumented because when I turned 21, I petitioned for them. And I was able to get them, you know, get their residency and stuff like that through the petitioning process. So.
And then how do you feel about these quote-unquote dreamers not having a pathway to citizenship like your parents did?
It upsets me a lot because... At the end of the day, like, people know that if we, you know, give these students a pathway to, you know, to citizenship, that's gonna, I guess, get them out of office and get them out of power, and they're afraid. And I feel like this is a perfect example that shows that, you know, united, like, we're very, very strong, and if we could vote, then things would be way different. I'm sort of, I guess, upset that there is no pathway to citizenship, but I feel like just because there isn't one now doesn't mean there can't be one. So.
All right, and then... All right, you said something about coming out of the shadows earlier. When they said undocumented and unafraid. So before there was this part of the movement where it kind of said it was like no fault of their own. So it kind of put the blame on the parents that, you know, it was not their fault. How did you feel about that? When, you know, they obviously it's changed now. And we want, with the push for DAPA and DACA, they're pushing for the parents as well. But I know before it was, like, focused on the dreamers or, like, the undocumented students that, you know, no fault of their own. And, like, politicians would use that as, you know, it's not their fault and kind of blaming the parents. How do you feel about that? Because your parents are undocumented, so.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they could have used, I mean, I know they're not using that any longer, but I feel like at that point in time, it maybe was good for them to use because... I mean, they were trying to get the focus on just themselves, and in a way, you know, it did help, but I would have personally tried and, like, not used it, because, like you were saying, it puts the fault on the parents, and then there's people who think of the more, like, 11 million undocumented people that just come here to, you know, steal jobs or whatever it may be, and it kind of puts them in that light and saying, like, oh, it was my parents' fault, like, that I'm here. So it's, like, you're saying putting the blame on the parent, and I don't think that was fair for either of those, you know, either for the dreamer or for the parent, because at the end of the day, like, that parent's here to make a better life. And yes, it may have been, I guess, quote unquote, their fault, but just saying, like, it wasn't our fault, or, you know, kind of they were brought here, you know, on their own, kind of just really makes that blame more real. And I don't think it's fair for the parents who risked, in my parents' case, who risked their lives to come here to give us a better life. It kind of, like, I don't know. I personally don't like it, and I feel like it does kind of put a, like, negative light on the people who aren't dreamers, who are still undocumented, like the parents, because, like I said, those were my parents for a long time. So I personally don't like it and don't agree on the use of it. Because, yeah, I mean, it's not their fault, but you're kind of, when you say that, it's like you're kind of washing your hands and saying, like, it's not my fault, it's their fault, putting the blame on somebody else. And I feel like instead of unifying both movements of, you know, parents, you know, immigration reform, but also, you know, like a Dream Act, since the beginning would have made it a lot stronger. And who knows where we would have been now if that had happened. But I feel like by saying it's not our fault kind of divides instead of unifying both things.
Okay, and with that, you did say, like, you know, those people that aren't dreamers. And I know you talked about how you don't like the term dreamer because it stigmatizes. Dreamers are usually seen as, you know, the model student. How do you feel about, you know, those students who technically don't fall under that dreamer, you know, criteria under the Dream Act? Mm-hmm. Like, is that why you don't like the term dreamer, or is it more like it kind of puts the blame on the parents too? Or
I think that's why, one reason why I don't like it, because at the end of the day, there's various reasons as to why a student coming from that background, like, may have not been the best student at school, you know, like, may have not graduated high school. Like, I feel like there's a lot of things that play into that, and especially when, you know, let's say you're undocumented and you have all these things already against you. But let's say maybe you don't have the support from your family to say, hey, get good grades, like, you know, go to college. Maybe you didn't graduate from high school, but that doesn't mean you can't be good to society. That doesn't mean that, you know, you didn't do it just because you were lazy. There's a lot of factors that could influence that. Like, maybe you couldn't graduate from high school because a lot of things going on at home. But I feel like with the term dreamer, like you were saying, it kind of divides those people from, like, the good students or the good, quote-unquote, dreamers versus the bad. And I don't like that, because instead of, again, like, that just divides instead of unifying, you know, this movement. Because, like, personally for me, like, I personally know family that are, you know, dreamers or could be quote-unquote dreamers, but let's say if the Dream Act passed, they couldn't apply for it because they themselves had different things going on in their lives, whether it was personal, that maybe didn't allow them to graduate high school, or maybe they got hung out with the wrong crowd. So I feel like with the term Dream Act and it only incorporating a specific number of people, it kind of stigmatizes or puts, kind of labels people who don't fall under the Dream Act as bad or as people that we don't want in our country, when in reality we don't know the entire situation of what actually happened, you know, in their lives. So I feel like it kind of, in a way, negatively affects other people, other, I guess, non-dreamers that are undocumented, as they're the bad ones. Like I said, I personally don't think that's fair for them, because as a community, like, we don't know what happened. Who are we to blame, and who are we to judge as to why they don't fall under specific criteria? So that's personally why I don't.
And then how do you feel like, you said that DACA was something for, you know, the movements and the organizations to work for, and they unified them. Do you feel it's the ultimate goal, or if it's just like a step toward getting to where it should be?
I think it's just one of the many steps as a community we need to take to, you know, eventually, in reality, like, unify, like, all of these movements together. It's a great first step, you know, and I feel like it made a lot of organizations realize, like, okay, like, now we have something to work towards, but at the same time, it also kind of is a realization that the work's not done and the work's not over, and that just because DACA or DAPA, you know, may have passed or whatever it may be, that that's going to change everything else and that's going to make everything all better. I really hope that, like, all these, you know, organizations working, you know, to get help students with DACA, you know, and our, you know, parents with DAPA, I really hope that's not where it ends, and I really hope that a lot of these organizations continue to, you know, help be the voice for their communities, because, like I said, for me, I don't think that that's where it's over, and that's just the beginning of a lot of work that still needs to be done. So I really hope that these orgs kind of don't just focus on DACA and then, like, disappear. And I hope they continue working towards really unifying the movement and incorporating other people into this. So it's the beginning, I think.